If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Did somebody order an all-star? My name is Keen and welcome to Sissy That Pod. We are discussing All-Stars 7, All-Winner Season in this week's episode. A season I'm so excited about. The episode you're going to hear actually aired in the workroom a few weeks ago when James and I were sharing our thoughts on the Queens after they were just announced. We're going to move that episode into the main feed here and you're going to get to hear it here. So just bear in mind, you know, if anyone has been cancelled in the interim, that will not be covered in this week's episode. Head over to our Instagram at CCDepod. Let us know who you're most excited for, who you think is going to win the whole goddamn thing. We're super excited for the season and we hope you are too. And if you want to check out the workroom, if you're like, God, I wish I got to hear this the week the announcement was made, then please come along and join us. The more, the merrier. You can head over to headstuffpodcast.com. It's only €5 a month. With inflation, that's becoming cheaper and cheaper. And you get access to all of our premium content. We cover all the international franchises. We covered Spain. We'll be covering France. All of those in there. We've got you covered, so don't worry. But yeah, for now, let's kick off the episode on the Meet the Queens of All-Stars 7.
Okay, well, I'm going to start this off by, like, going to before anyone walked into the workroom. And I know that we swim in maybe slightly more spoiler-polluted waters than a lot of people. But, like, I've decided that I am going to proactively distance myself from spoilers when it comes to, like, casting of these things. Because the same with UK versus the World, I knew from maybe, like, Pride of last year who was, like, who were the rumoured queens to be on this. And I just kind of was like, I saw a couple of reaction videos and I saw a couple of like reactions online from people who obviously had no idea that this was actually coming, had no ideas that this was going to be kind of a, you know, who the cast were going to be. And like the excitement was really palpable and it was such an exciting thing to see. And it was amazing to see so many amazing people back in the workroom. And I was just like, you know what, James, you've done this to yourself by being too like up to date on the like kind of non-spoilery spoilers, you know what I mean? Like, I don't look at the stuff like who's going to go home or what, that kind of stuff, but like, you know, I think I'd rather to have had this just drop on Wednesday and for me to be able to be like, oh my God, I wonder who's going to be on it, because that would have added massive levels of excitement to seeing Shea Coulee back into the workroom. You know, one of the best queens, I think one of the like most accomplished and like put together queens that we've ever had on Drag Race back in the competition, just missed out on that season 9 win because of like the Rose Gate, came back, did a stellar job throughout, like was really like probably the only like the jewel in the crown of a quite underwhelming All-Stars season, the COVID All-Stars 5 season. So very excited to see her back and competing against some queens that I think will give like excellent competition.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, I actually sometimes feel in All-Stars terms, I like that I knew the lineup ahead of time. I have actually decided I'm going to stop, because, you know, I used to try delve into the spoilers to try work out what episodes were on when in order for us to get a good guest to book them for. I'm actually thinking I'm going to try avoid that in future because I end up stumbling upon the occasional spoiler there and it does ruin the fun. But in terms of the lineups, I actually am glad I knew this one in ahead of time, because I was still so excited watching it. I was like, oh my God, this feels real. I get to see them all again. But I think if I was watching it, I think I would be like, please let there be a Bob the Drag Queen or something. And I think I would have ultimately been disappointed. Whereas at least now I'm at peace with who the cast was going to be. And I had this whole new renewed excitement around actually seeing them back and seeing them all together and seeing them all interact.
No, I do. I actually get what you mean there in that, like, there certainly are like a lot of winners that I would have liked to, you know, that I think that in isolation without a knowledge of like who this is going to be or who without the pre-spoiling, I guess you could be like, oh my God, I'm really excited to see this person, I'm really excited to see that person. But like, you know, even without like directly looking at who's going to be on it, you know you're not getting a Bob because they've been very vocal about not going on it. You know you're not getting a Bianca. You know you're definitely not getting a Tyra. You know it is highly unlikely you're getting a Sharon. So you know, you kind of have an idea of who are the ones that you are. And like, as well, because you know that these things are filmed like a good bit out, you know that anyone who was a winner within the last year, so a lot of the international winners probably not going. So you kind of are thinking, right, well, I know I'm picking from like pre-21 queens, and I know that those ones are. But no, I do know what you mean. But even still,
it's interesting.
I was jealous of all those people seeing this for the first time and being gooped and gagged.
Or, keen cynical corner, we're pretending to be gooped and gagged. So Shay Kale walks in. I think you and I both refer to Shay as sort of like top class queen, can do everything well, you know, is instant winner written all over them. And yeah, like I still think she, like for me, straight away, I think this is going to be a Shay and Jinx top two.
I have Shay, Jinx and Monet are my three for this.
Okay.
I think that is just how it's going to go. And I think that, like, I have a very clear idea of what way it's going to go just based on kind of where I think the queens fall. But I think top three is going to be Shay, Monet and Jinx. Like, and that is just in my mind. And that would feel right to me as well.
Yeah, like, I suppose in theory, Shay is the most recent winner of the batch. Because she's in All Stars 5, even though Jada is like the most recent person to have appeared on the show. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure Shay has lots of money, like they're very, very successful. So like, yeah, like even just thinking about all the challenges, I guess stand-up is the only thing that they didn't particularly do overly well in All Stars 5. But like, yeah, it's going to be hard to see how they're going to be here.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who they did. So they did an excellent Naomi for Snatch Game in season 9. They did very good Flavor Flav in All Stars 4. So they have like the comedy chops there. They did some very fun little skits in season 9. See, season 9 was a real high point for the show as well. Like it really like the best of the best in terms of queens and like really excellent challenges as well. Whereas All Stars 5 was a bit muddled, so I can barely, like, with the exception of the Snatch Game, that amazing pink gown that Shay wore, and the like really awkward "This Is Love" or "I'm in Love" music video they had to do. Like, I don't remember much more from that season, so I'm not 100. Like, coming from season, and it was interesting because I noticed that in the talking head bits when they were like introducing the queens that were coming in, they were focusing on the season that they had won. So they didn't show anything from season 9 within Shay's kind of like clip package. And it kind of made me think like, Shay, a lot of the affection I have for you and a lot of the like, oh my God, like you are a winner, you are, comes from like what I remember from season 9 more so even than All Stars 5.
Interesting. I think she won easily, I guess. Like, there was that pink gown. There was also, do you remember the red gown she wore at the stand-up that she was like, I'm not going to do too well.
Oh, yeah, the gorgeous kind red of gown. Prom dress.
Yeah, she also did the pole dancing for the talent show. And then she won Snatch Game with Flavor Flav as well. She beat Jujubee, even though Jujubee had the more iconic meme out of the whole Snatch Game. So, and I always remember her lip sync against Lissa Edwards to the Neutron Dance by Sister Sledge, which I loved as well. But yeah, I think she had bigger competition in season 9 and therefore got to sort of show more grit, whereas I think you can only be as good as the challenge will let you. And there was some dodgy challenges, what, the RuPaul hometown cookout, that was one. The TMZ challenge was awful, or where they had to design a room, like, but yeah, so like no one came out of that well that season, really. Second in was Jada, again looking so well. First of all, I love that orange on Shay, and then I thought Jada looked fantastic as well. Jada's probably the one I know the least for this season.
Yes, I agree with you, because I think that, like, obviously the entire, like, the season 12 girls were, like, really, I remember when we were covering it, like, it really was the kind of, like, the season that everything went wrong, because it was a super strong cast. And I think that Jada was undoubtedly an excellent queen and like deserved winner, but she was overshadowed in terms of like personality by the likes of like, well, Crystal Method and Gigi Good, and you know, and then also there was all that drama about, you know, the other individual we don't need to talk about. So I do feel like Shay, like that, that Jada is kind of walking in a little bit sort of as someone that I don't know very well. And I do think that like when season 13 came back around, I think that like there was something looking back now on season 13. I think the cast in season 13 was really stacked with like people who are kind of, you know, very, very, very memorable. And I just feel like she kind of got, like, I think that the top three of season 13, that like, or four, was it? Top four of season 14, that like, they did the Lucky video. Like, they sort of steamrolled the top four of season 12 in a way. And like, obviously they had the COVID closing ceremony as well. So I would feel like Jada, in a way, to me, walking in feels like she's almost coming back to do her first real season, because it's the first one that's like a real finale, potentially.
That's interesting, because I would say season 12 as the strongest American season that we've covered of the three of them. I think in terms of like just the characters, like even down to Rock'em Sakura, somebody I always like seeing on my screen, Heidi in Closet, Jackie Cox, you know, Nikki Doll's going to be the head of France. Like, I just think the whole cast had, kind of like season 9, so many iconic characters, even who were somewhat early outs, that I don't have any affection for in the same light as season 13. Like, I don't think of Tamisha Mann anymore. Olivia Lux, I don't particularly think of. Denali was good, but I have sort of forgotten about her. So,
what about you, I do think
she. Yeah, no, I like Utica. I didn't say Utica for a reason, because I do think
Well, no, I think in terms of the top four, I think you are right. Like, I think that throughout the season, you had, like, season 12, obviously, Jan, Heidi, as you said, Jackie Cox. Like, you had all these big characters who I think kind of, like, took up all the air in the room throughout the season, so you didn't really get a chance to know Jada until like the very, very latter part of the season. And then when you would have got that opportunity to really get her shine, which would have been on the massive produced kind of live finale, you ended up with this really awkward zoom in thing. So I think that she lost her opportunity to make a big impression, because like I don't feel like she managed to, like, I don't feel like she managed to kind of, I suppose, break through some of the other characters that were there in season 12. Whereas what I'm saying about season 13 is like the top four, I think the top four in season 13 are much more memorable than the top four on season 12.
Even your gal Crystal.
Even my gal Crystal. I do love Crystal Method, but I just think like Gottmik has to be one of the most, Gottmik, Candy Muse, Gottmik, Candy Muse, and Simone. And like, I mean, I don't want to dismiss Rosé. There's no dismissing Rosé there, but like the three of them are three of the most iconic people we've had on Drag Race.
Okay.
Collectively. Over the last however many years.
I see what you're going for. I think another thing with Jada, and it's kind of what you're getting to, is her win was kind of like a Trixie Mattel win in a way, which was like, okay, well, Sherry Pie was supposed to win and then she got cancelled. And then Gigi, and, well, we don't know this, but, and I actually don't believe this, but it was accused that Gigi was supposed to win, but then after the murder of George Floyd and the huge Black Lives Matter, people started saying Jada only won because she's black. I personally don't think that's true, like with Monet, but it kind of added more discredit to her win once again. Not only was it over Zoom and everything, so it's kind of like the win is undermined from the go. So I'm really happy she's here to show that she deserves to win, because I was Team Jada, I remember, at the time, and I think she definitely showed in the season that she deserved to win. I think she's a fierce all-rounder. She can like dance, she wasn't great at comedy, I don't think, but she did a decent snatch game. She can sew, the beat's amazing, so like she has everything it takes to do really well.
And yeah, I'd agree.
So the person I'm least looking forward to the whole cast is up next, Evie Oddly, winner of season 11. And I find my reaction to this interesting, because I was Team Evie in season 11, even though arguably Brooke should have won with three wins. And it's just since then, and maybe it was how they came across as such a dud character in Vegas Review or something, but I've just found their output since the show, I haven't really engaged in it, like, not interesting, and I've kind of forgotten about them.
And we never got that single, the one that they were doing their burlesque dancing for. I completely agree with you. And I think obviously we've gotten to know Brooke now in a completely different capacity as the judge on Drag Race Canada, and you see like the effortlessness with which she carries herself, the poise she has. You just really can see this like strength, and it, like, I suppose it does come down to the fact that you see obviously the decision can get made on the night by basically having an outstanding look. because that mirror faced thing was amazing. And I do like, yeah, it's unusual because I just forget about her now. Like, she kind of feels like I don't think of her when I think of the winners, and I would think of Brooke being more in that place. I am overly excited for her. I didn't love season 11. I found season 11 was a painful one to get through. Like even thinking back on it now and kind of going, right, well, we had the likes of like Nina West, but Nina West never really managed to like kind of maybe give what people had anticipated. And yeah, like Vanjie was there kind of carrying the season in a comedic way, but there was no one that I really was like overly invested in. And then when Evie came around to win, like she was the kind of the kooky queen. She was like the kind of in the model of like Sharon Needles. And we hadn't had a queen like that in quite a while. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not overly, I would place her as an early out.
If there were people going out.
That is true.
Look, maybe she like she gave some good, you know, self-made drag with some good concepts. Like, I always do enjoy her jellyfish look with the umbrella. Like, I thought that was good, and she had some interesting points of view. So it'll be interesting to see how that can now go with a few more years experience, yeah, and $100,000, what she's going to bring us on there.
Yeah.
But I think amongst this cast, who have the reputation of having some of the best runways ever, I'm not sure. Because that's her strength. I think there's other queens who have that strength, but it's a stronger strength than hers. And that's what she'll vote.
Yeah, no, I think that like if we're looking at the MBTI thing, like if drag queens are assigned different like kind of levels of charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent, like uniqueness is definitely the thing that she has. That's her like primary strength, but there are other queens here I think who are bringing that in a different, stronger way, and I think who just have more interesting insights and can flex in other directions.
Yeah, I think so too. Trinity the Tuck is probably the second last queen I'm the most excited for. Again, I kind of felt she deserved to win season or All Stars 4. I thought she had even though Naomi Smalls is on the season, I thought she still had the best runways. She's such a polished queen. She can kind of do everything. But yet, I find her hard to like. And I know there's the whole
She-Devil by Night
drama as well. And I don't know if they're going to get into that or not. But she's now also trans. We come out as trans as well. So, you know, I'm happy for her. And that might be addressed in this season too. So, yeah, for her, it's kind of like seeing an ex that you're like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing them again, but I feel conflicted in my emotions towards them.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that I am... I'm not overly excited. But I also kind of feel like as if I know they'll win me back around, because I did think that, like, you know, they were very strong in season 9. They were a front runner in that season. I thought they had kind of a hard edge. They managed to soften it up coming back for their All Stars. I did think that they probably deserved the kind of the outright win on that season. And you know, based on their like run across the entire set of challenges, and I did leave that season having an enormous amount of affection for them. But then I don't know, like there has been something since, like, and even in this kind of like when they were talking about it, they were like, oh, you know, I don't need Drag Race. I've traveled the world. It's kind of a little bit, it's all a little bit sort of
brash.
Yeah, a bit up themselves.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is interesting. And again, if I think who's one of the best queens who's been on Drag Race, she doesn't come into my mind straight away, even though I could probably make the case that what she's given on the show is definitely up there. So yeah, but like in terms of the drag, it is flawless. It's the character that's flawed.
Exactly. Exactly. Like a good Shakespearean play.
Speaking of somebody who I kind of feel is the opposite, like mirror opposite of Trinity, is Monet Exchange, who I think on All Stars 4 had definitely elevated their drag. Was it as up to scratch with Naomi or Trinity's, but like so lovable. And even though she, you know, almost gave us a Manila moment, like so great to see, like, love having her on our TV. And then I think since that show, seeing her in the pit stop and stuff and seeing the drag she's done after All Stars 4 is like, oh, she actually does have drag on a winner's level now. It's kind of come after the show.
No, I completely agree. Like, I mean, I think that she's, you know, has been on one of these upward trajectories where kind of like her season 10 appearance, you could see the like a diamond in the rough there, and she came back from All Stars, and you know, her ride in All Stars wasn't pristine. There was issues, and there was, you know, challenges she didn't do particularly well in, but she definitely, like, she won that last episode undoubtedly. Like her like entire, and her drag since the show has absolutely elevated. And like, also, I mean, just like as a personable individual, like, they're one of the queens who you stop to listen to their interviews. I like the sibling rivalry with Bob. I think they're the sort of person who kind of, you know, just feels like a compelling person to be around or to watch, and they're sort of like able to hold their audience. So yeah, I'm very excited for them. And I think that, like, they're kind of one of those queens who all they've really needed ever to do was like get the looks right. And they had the potential to do everything else.
I will say, I'd like them to smash Snatch Game out of the park, because we got a good Maya Angelou on season 10 and we got a bad Whitney Houston in All Stars 4. So
yeah, and I think that this, like, you know, I think that kind of that could be the thorn in the side of Monet Exchange, is maybe lacking that little bit of insight. Because I think even though All Stars 4 was a number of years ago at this point, we were already at the point where we understood that, you know, picking on, like, you know, using someone's addiction or using someone's kind of using someone's trauma to mock them was unacceptable. And like, I was surprised that someone who is such like an outspoken kind of advocate in so many ways would have chosen to kind of like go the way of sort of, you know, accessorizing their performance of Whitney as a in the kind of Bobby Brown very negative era. So I like, I hope that like they've got a bit of insight and do something and give us something like positive and enjoyable where we can laugh with rather than at.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm actually just looking at the cast now. So Shay won All Stars 5 Snatch Game, Trinity won All Stars 4 Snatch Game, Jinx won season 5 Snatch Game, and the Vivian won UK season 1. So we have 4 Snatch Game winners in this season, which I think is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, would you rather it be a Snatch Game of Love or a straight up Snatch Game?
Straight up, give me normal, give me straight up Snatch Game. And I'm over Snatch Game this time. I have said that it needs to be retired, but I think in this capacity, because you have people who know how to improv, who understand what the concept is, who we've proven track record of like fun, and I think straight up normal Snatch Game. None of this like breaking it down.
Yeah, I think so too. Speaking of Snatch Game winners, Jinx Monsoon is up next. I think out of all the queens, she is the most highly and, you know, excited. Got the biggest reaction, I think, with the fans online to see her back in the workroom. Yeah, and I don't really see how they're going to trip her up, to be honest.
No, I think, like, nor do they want to. You know, it's not even like she's walking in there and there's an idea that they might want to kind of, like, have a narrative of, like, someone who's, like, not proven. Like, she has been so creative, so interesting. The work she has done since she was on the show has been absolutely amazing. I think that she is going to, like, I'm extremely excited. I'm most excited for her. She is the queen that I am most excited to see back in the workroom for this. And I think that, like, I want her to just really, you know, excel across this competition.
Yeah. Now, there's part of me that wonders, like, will we root for her enough that when she's not being bullied openly on the show? You know, because part of her appeal is that she was the underdog and you had Relaska talks undervaluing her and picking on her and not appreciating what she was putting forward. And, you know, the audience like her and they root for her. So if she goes in there now as the top dog, will she become less relatable? Possibly, but I also think her drag output is so flawless. I mean, I'm not entirely sure how fashion she's going to be, but I think in terms of character, she'll be the best.
Yeah, I would. I actually think that it'll be between her and the Vivian on this season's Snatch Game. Like, I think the two of them are the queens who I would be most excited to see working against each other in that, because I think that the Vivian is another one who's able to really embody a character in the way that Jinx can. And I actually think that Jinx doesn't, like, I think that, like, the underdog narrative in the first season, in season five, is obviously very helpful to her. But I think she genuinely is just an incredibly likable person as well.
Yeah.
So I think that that is going to mean, like, you know, she's going to have that congeniality.
I think so too. Raja is the seventh queen to walk into the run room. Run room?
Into the work run room.
Work room. And I loved what she was wearing, first of all. So I kind of feel like, are we back with the fashion? You know, Raja's the fashion queen of the season straight out the gates. I really like Raja. She's one of my favorite winners. I enjoy her on Photo Fashion Review. However, I feel she was really lucky on her season, that the season three was so crafty and, like, so many design challenges. I think there was two balls and a design challenge. It was very fashion focused the way it worked out. I think if there had been a different set of challenges, I think Manila probably would have won. So I think Raja, I'm glad that no one's going home, because I'd worry Raja would go home early enough. I think Raja will bring great runways. I'm not entirely sure how versatile she is in terms of, like, I know she did an okay snatch game, she did an okay stand-up before. But I think there's a few challenges, like talent shows and stuff, if they do them, musicals, that she never had to do. So it'll be interesting how she adapts to them. So I'm a bit concerned she's not going to slay the competition, but I think she'll slay the runways, and I think that'll be her legacy.
I completely agree with you. I think that, like, that is 100% going to be the area she excels in. And it is, like, I suppose, like, she is, like, the Drag Race insider, in that she's been doing the fashion photo review for the last, like, decade nearly at this point. You know, she understands exactly. And, like, because her critique, like, she's been, like, offering critiques throughout the competition on kind of, like, what the fashion needs to be. So she'll know what she needs to bring. She'll also know that she needs to be prepared for the tasks that maybe she isn't kind of naturally gifted in. So I think that she'll be, I can imagine her going in there, either going in there well-prepared, but also probably not caring all that much. So kind of, like, it's not like she's going in there to enjoy herself and to have fun. And that could be quite good. Because otherwise I would worry in the same way that, like, I don't know how I would see her. Like, I can't see her, like, drop kicking off a box.
No. I mean, she's, what, 47 now? So, yeah. Like, you wouldn't want her to be drop-kicking off a box either.
No, you wouldn't.
So, yeah, like, I think she's a fantastic queen. I 100% would pay to go see her if she was supporting in Ireland. I just don't know how good of a competition queen she is based on the competition these days.
Interesting fact. Fast fact moment from James. Raja was the first ever queen to come to Ireland under the dragged up moniker.
Fun.
There you go. And that was, like, about 12 years ago. It was, like, the year she won. So, like, you know. I think it was Raja and Willem were the first two.
Okay. Mm. Okay, nice. Fun. Yeah. So excited to see her back. I do really like her, but I think she might struggle. The Vivian is the final queen to walk in, which I think is a gag. Like, I imagine if I had been watching this and didn't know the lineup, I think that would have been a gag, because the kind of pretense was that it was just going to be the US winners. So I'm delighted we're getting an international flavor into the room. I think the Vivian is going in there with a disadvantage in the fact that she'd have won no money on her season, whereas everyone else won 100 grand. So she's definitely out of pocket going in. But I don't think she's out of pocket in terms of talent. Like, she's a full-on all-rounder. She could do comedy. She wasn't the best dancer, I think. So maybe a girl group challenge she'll struggle at. But, like, acting, comedy, snatch game, improv, all those things she'll have in the bag.
I think so. I do think as well, like, she is incredibly likable as a character, as a queen, and I think that she's going to be, I'm really excited to see her there, and I am also really excited for the potential of another version of this where you get, like, winners from other international franchises in there as well. Like, I think that would be very exciting. Though now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, who would have strong enough English? And I don't really care about Kitamine anymore. So
Priyanka.
Oh, Priyanka! Now there, that's the one that I'm waiting for.
Yeah. you can have, like, four US queens, and you'll have, like, Priyanka and Blue and Lawrence and the winner of Down Under season two.
Perfect.
Carmen Farala, after she's had an intensive English class.
Carmen Farala sponsored by Duolingo.
Well, I guess you've given your top three. I think it's going to be Shay and Jinx's to win, basically, and then I'd love to see the Vivian do well. I'd love to see Jada do well, But I think it'll be either Trinity or Monet who'll be in the top three in space with them.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're looking at... My feeling is we're going to get a... I would like a Jinx, Monet, Shay, and Vivian top four.
Top four. Okay.
But I mean, that's half, like, that's the halfway point.
That's half the cast, so. Yeah. So I guess we don't know entirely what the format's going to be like, but I believe no one's going home and there's, like, a point system. And I don't know whether the point system guarantees you into the final or whether the point system is, like under, you know, who can just choose from the lineup, you know, who, you know, even if it's not number one, he can just choose his top four. I don't know.
From what I've heard, it's that the points are, like that... At like week five, if you like the top 4 point scorers move on and everyone else gets sent home.
Oh,
like I think that's what it was. So it's like when you get to the point, like it is, you're building up the points and then like that determines who's in the...
Okay, that's all for this episode. In case you're wondering, James wasn't available to do the intro and outro with me this week. That's why he's not here. I haven't like edited him out. So yeah, join us back here next Saturday for the first episode of All Stars 7. I'm excited. I hope you are too. I'll chat to you then. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com. If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.